folks. I'm Izzy B, your guest host for the Ultra Buds Unleashed series, part of the Trail Life podcast. And today we are chatting with friend Jesse Ellis, the creative force behind Let's Wander Productions, which is a dynamic team of photographers, videographers, and content creators who have spent over a decade capturing the heart and soul of the endurance sports. Jesse's journey into photography is deeply rooted in his love for trail running. A passionate runner turned storyteller, he has dedicated himself to making trail running more accessible and widely recognized. With over 300 endurance events documented, Jesse and his team bring races to life through stunning photography, video, and live streaming. Beyond the lens, Jesse is a devoted father of three and has been happily married for 18 years. His team at Let's Wander Productions is a collective of outdoor-loving freelancers with an eye for detail, covering everything from intimate trail moments to large-scale events. Join us as we dive into Jesse's story, his transition from runner to visual storyteller, the evolution of trail running media, and what it takes to capture the raw emotion of endurance sports.
Well, help me turn the turning. Well, help me get it right. I don't want to hurt nobody. Well, I don't want to fight. Well, offer me the peace of mind and let me.
Hey, Jesse, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me today. Nice to see you. So one of the questions I always ask everyone starting out, because all the guests I'm having on this show, I actually personally know them. They're not just strangers. But tell the story of how we first met.
Oh, man. I think that we're both such big characters in the big world of sport that if I really think back about it, I think it actually came down to my running career. And I think I reached out to you concerning either Injinji or Tailwind years ago through Instagram and knew who you were. But I don't know if we had even met when I reached out to you. But I looked back in our Ultra signup and the first place I can see where we probably would have seen each other was Broken Arrow. And back in 2019, I think it was. And then, but our Facebook friendship is in 2021, which related to Black Canyon. So we solidified our friendship in 2021.
Yes. And then by Ray Miller, we were besties, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Here's Ray's.
Oh, yeah.
Fun fact for our listeners, a while back, I was the team manager, ambassador manager for Injinji Toe Socks, which is located in San Diego headquarters. And so Jesse was one of the prospects. Where did you get added to that team? I didn't remember back then.
No,
they were super small.
Megan Cranfield was my coach. And so she said, if you don't want blisters in your dry 100 milers, you got to get the Injinjis in.
Once you go toe sock, you never go back.
Yeah.
That's what I always say. And then after that, I just saw you at races all the time. And I'm that runner who runs past the photographer more than once to get the perfect shot. So how did you get into trail running and later ultra running? Tell us your story.
I was born and raised in the foothills of California. I moved to Auburn when I was 10 years old. And before that, I was in Grass Valley, which is right next door. But I ran cross country in middle school and high school there in Auburn, California. I ran track for Placer High School, where Western State's 100 miler finishes. And I fell in love with the trails well before I even got into the ultra scene. The ultra scene popped in for me in 2013 when I ran my first 50 miler at Headlands 50 miler. And why not just jump into trying to qualify for Western States and do 10,000 vert 50 miler.
And how did that go?
It went. I made all the mistakes. I'm pretty sure I was consuming like 800 calories an hour because I was outputting 800 calories an hour and I only peed once the whole day.
Oh,
and learned a lot of lessons. I got IT man syndrome. I left into the dark without a light. Made a lot of major normal newbie mistakes, but I got my start and I finished like 13 and a half hours for my first 50 miler. With that much vert is pretty good. I didn't know that then. I just felt like I was young and slow and didn't know what I was doing with myself. But Yeah, so trail running all the way back to middle school, ultra running in 2013. I paced somebody at Western States and decided I want to qualify for the race and got my start.
So you grew up at Placer High School. Did you always go and watch Western States and watch them finish?
So we just had the 50th anniversary, and I have probably been to 20 Western States.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. So you've seen that race grow dramatically.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
I also grew up with Jim King's kids up in Grass Valley. Jim King won Western States 3 times in the 80s. So my first Western States, I was 10 months old.
Wow.
Yeah, my parents were his crew.
Oh my goodness. So you grew up in the ultra world and you grew up in the area. And so how was it that for 50 miler when you didn't have your headlamp, like you weren't too worried about it? You just ran in
no,
the dark?
So I, like I said, I had IT band syndrome pretty bad. So 4 more miles to go when it was dark. I at least put a long sleeve on.
That's good.
So this was 2013. So my example runners were all the dirtbag runners that like to run shirtless. So I also ran 46 miles without a shirt. And so I was severely sunburned by the end of the whole process, even with spray on sunscreen the whole time. And, but yeah, did the 4 miles over the hill without a headlamp. And what I was doing was I would just piggyback on whatever runner caught me, fast step with them as long as I could, and if they needed to go, then I'd go up a few more steps just in the dark and feel it out, and then just follow their light, almost as if you're driving, just follow that light ahead of you, that car ahead of you. And but there was a 100-mile runner, Keith Bronski. Keith walked the last 2 miles down the hill with me off Hill 88 into Rodeo Beach. And my dad and my father-in-law met me maybe about a half mile up because they knew I didn't have my light. And there's no reception, so it wasn't like I could call and tell anyone. I just went for it and did it.
Wow. And then after that, did you increase your mileage to different races? And
I
this
did.
Was all in the same year?
And no, in 2013, I ran a 50 miler. I had IT band syndrome, so I took a month or two off. And then I started training more appropriately. I watched a lot of downhill running videos, a lot of Solomon content back then in 2013, and figured out I was heel striking, and that's what I needed to do to protect my knee, is learn how to be a mid and or front runner. And so I've never had IT band issues ever again.
That's good.
Yeah. So compliments to myself on my research, but I my second ultra was Way to Cool. And a little bit flat, a lot flatter of a race, shorter, also closer to home. So I could train on the course and went out way too fast in that. So that one really had to do with me going out way too fast. And that's a common joke about it. You go way out, way to cool, you go out way too fast because the first 8 miles is really flat. And then you bomb down Western States down to the river, and then you have a big old climb back out. And so my quads were just shot by the time I was down by the river and had a nice slow back into the race. But from Way to Cool, I ran 7 ultras that year. Ultra distances. I ran a fat ass 50K, learning how to be a Western States type guy. I ran the elementary school down a swing bridge and back, the old school, the Canyons 50K. And then my goal, because that was the switching point, was 2014, 100Ks and 100 milers were qualifiers. So I went from thinking I was just going to have to run a 50 miler 1 year to having to run 100K, 100 miler by the second year. And I attempted Javelina 100 that fall, and I made it 3 loops on the old Pemberton loop. So I made it 46 miles, and I actually pulled up even short. I stopped at Rattlesnake and called my family to come pick me up. I was only 1 mile from headquarters, but I that last mile was not going to happen. So back to the drawing boards after 2014, and I've attempted to qualify all these years for Western States to run my own home 100 miler in my high school. And I've qualified twice. And back in November, I finished Dinosaur Valley Endurance Run 100K. in qualifying time and got my second ever qualifier for Western States. So one ticket in the hat for next year, and highly hopeful that maybe I get a sponsor and can.
Oh, man. You have to be able to run that race. I'm rooting for you.
Yeah, it's a pretty emotional journey along the way. And I would be lying if I didn't say I've had real highs and lows with that just in my own brain trying to get there, because I'm a father of three. I got an 11-year-old, 9-year-old, and 2-year-old. When I started this whole process, I had one child. And so I'm just ready to be done and ready to move on and enjoy my kids go through middle school and high school sports and travel to places not related to running and just enjoy some other aspects of family life and just enjoy. I really thrive probably in the 25K to 50K range as far as actual good running. But everything beyond that, I enjoy going through large spaces, just a lot of the runners do, and seeing new places. And I just enjoy the full process. I love our community. I think that's a huge part of what brings you and I together a lot. And
yeah,
it's just the community is so vast and amazing and such different people and voices and opinions. And I thrive on that and being around a lot of people and a lot of new experiences.
I'm all about the 50Ks this year too. You don't have to worry about not remembering a headlamp.
Yeah.
And you can sleep in your own bed.
And there's dinner.
There's dinner. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So how did you get into photography then? Or which one came first for you?
Running definitely came first. But how professional photography came along is I have a wife that graduated from college, who got her degree in photography, trained me, and I went to community college and learned a few things about how to meter a camera and became her second shooter. So we were shooting weddings and portrait stuff. And then we had our first kid and we had all this gear and I was pretty new at it all, but hey, do you mind if I go see if I like can do this in my passion? And so I went down to the Bay Area. I shot two races back to back for two different race companies, one on a Saturday, one on a Sunday. And Inside Trail Running hired me for 17 events on the spot.
Wow.
And so I had to figure out pricing and I had to make it worth. This is what I'm worth. And started there after three events. Craig Thornley, the race director for Western States, saw me on one of our local trails and said, "Hey, Jesse, I've been meaning to talk to you. Would you like to photograph Western States? Luis Escobar's in the race and we need a lead photographer." So that's how I got my start with Western States. So this summer will be my 10th Western States to photograph. Pretty exciting because we got a lot of major players coming out, assuming that they don't get hurt or back out. And one of my big heroes, I was big, like Solomon videos were the thing back in the early 2010 range. And so huge fan of Killian. So just knowing a bunch of the Europeans that I've followed for years are going to be there. It's going to be really fun. But yeah, as far as me getting my start, I just jumped into it in December of 2014. And I just had my 10-year anniversary for that as well. Pretty excited coming into a decade of shooting all this stuff and finally feeling like I'm the professional that I want to be in it. And I also saw a hope and a future for just full on event photography within it for races. And that's why I'm one of the only guys out there that is a brand and not just my name. I feel like I'm known enough and I would be known enough along the way that people know Jesse Ellis is Let's Wander. And it's been really cool to see that when people see other photographers, they'll give me a shout out as well, which is really cool.
So you jumped into ultra running and photography kind of the same time frame. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, about a year apart.
So when you first started your business, you're an entrepreneur. You said you had to figure out like pricing and all that. What else were kind of the hardships or struggles with starting your own business?
Oh man, I left a full-time job as a mental health worker. And so I did that for about 7.5, 8 years prior. And I was leaving the comforts of knowing that I had time off and that I had insurance and all these things. And so leaving that behind was pretty rough to start. And my wife was really understanding at the time. I also had a huge connection with the company Dutch Bros Coffee. And so Dutch Bros, I worked there for 3 years as I got my start. So I was doing the arts barista thing for 3 years. And I was also considering becoming a franchise owner for them. Mm. Both would have been amazing paths. One probably would have got me more riches. But I have such a huge passion for the sport and industry and everything that is involved that I knew I'd be happier in the place where mm-hmm. I could be out in nature and free to just breathe fresh air all the time. And if I want more money, I just work harder. And I'm consistently trying to grow the company and grow our exposure and show people that what I want to portray in a race is everybody's story and that everybody that does this stuff is somebody's hero. Somebody's looking up to everyone. So it really drives me there.
Yeah, I love that. Being an entrepreneur myself, I feel the exact same way. You have some hardships, but you're doing what you're passionate about. You wake up Monday morning and you're happy and excited to be going to work instead of all that complaining. Right. I got to go to the office today. And yeah, insurance was a little struggle at first, but you figure it out, all the benefits and stuff. Yeah, exactly. So you first started with your wife, you were doing portraits, and when you started your company and getting into trail running ultras right away, you're shooting Western States. Do you only shoot trail races and ultras now with your brand? Did you ever do any other types of photography?
I try and just promote the trail race stuff, but I have shot almost every single year some runner couple that gets married. So I have done that. I've done engagements. I've done some family shoots. Post pandemic, everybody was struggling to make a buck. So every time I don't live in Auburn anymore. I live in Phoenix. And so I have mm-hmm. close ties with the Air Vipa family out here. But mm-hmm. when I'm in Arizona, I live at a college. So a lot of the college students want to get engagement shoots or portrait shoots or senior shoots. So I'll market that to my direct immediate communities that I come in contact with. But I don't necessarily need or want to absorb a ton of that kind of work. But if somebody did reach out and they were like, no, I want you to do it, then I would definitely jump on that. We're also open to private, like small projects. I've been asked by some people to follow them, say for the speed project or a through hike. That there's those things.
FKT or something.
FKTs. Yeah. There's all kinds of little things that pop up. We've changed the company from not just photography, but also to production. So we're also trying to absorb a lot of video type things. And so within that, there's been some cool little side projects that have popped up. I've done events for breweries because they're like, people move around a lot and we need these people in shots and we need these products in the shot and we need this equipment in the shot. But every time we hire somebody, they don't seem to understand what we need. So a runner patron for a brewery will say, oh, my running photos are from this guy and he's local and he's amazing and I know he can handle it. So then I get little side projects like that and it's always wonderful. I don't undervalue myself anymore.
Good.
I think that as a freelancer, we can do that where it's just, yeah, pizza and beer and a spot in the parking lot. That's fine. And I have five mouths to feed, including myself. And in order for me to do that, I have to charge a certain amount of money. And if I'm not at home, I'm not at home. So it's like, I need the client to value my time in the sense that there's people that I'm getting away from by being.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. It's all part of it. Yep. So when you go out to races, trail races or adventures, maybe the longer races, what's a typical kind of like day for you? Do you go out early and you scout out locations and you try to figure out the best spots and scenery and backgrounds, backdrops?
Yeah. So since, let's say, 2021, I've pretty much shot everything that I have on the calendar currently. Oh. I've had consistent return clients for the past 4 or 5 years. And from 2014 to about 2019, I would say I was putting down 6 to 10 miles during even a 50K, just so I could get around and get a variety of shots and be able to market for the companies as well as try and capture everyone. I don't think that everyone always got the perfect shot by me doing that, because, you know, somebody's going to catch you around the corner in a bush and or this and that. And common statement that I always get from runners, even if they've known me for a long time, is, oh, on an uphill. But sometimes if I have a planned, I'm on an uphill and you're coming up, it's because there's a big panoramic view behind you.
Yes.
And you may feel like death climbing up that hill, but how we feel isn't how we look, and it doesn't express really what we've done. But showing that you climbed up a mountain with all that, it's pretty, pretty special and epic in the sense of what your family and friends, and you get to look back on your life and say that you accomplished. I say that to say, do I show up early to scout? I do not always show up early and scout. At this point, I can plan out and figure out things. Also, because I am a runner, I also understand how fast and how slow people are.
Yeah.
And so I'm able to know how long to stay in a spot versus move on. This far into the game, I've seen a lot of the regulars that are in the back of the pack. And so I also know when I'm getting close to being done based on this person or that person. And so that also helps me be able to move on to another spot. And I will try and stay at an event, the duration of an event, and try and cover everyone if I possibly can, because everybody's story counts. And that doesn't mean I'm just going to hang out in the finish line. I usually only offer finish line photography for 100Ks plus. And that's because I'd rather be out there on the course with them in the in-between space when they think they're never, ever going to see anybody, and be able to be that cheerleader for them, encourage them up the hill. And so most of my scouting has been accomplished years ago. But yeah, I've been known to be way back in the cuts, 6 to 10 miles in, where nobody else. Yeah.
I know, it always gives me a boost whenever I see the photographers. Definitely gets me up that hill. But yeah, so I don't just think that people don't realize how much work the photographers do, how much their equipment costs, and all the miles they're putting on their feet to get those shots. And then when the race is over, it's not over for them. You still got to go home. And about how many hours do you spend editing like a 50K versus a 100-mile race? I guess it depends how many participants.
Oh, man. Huh? It just depends on the shot volume. So I'd say shot volume is the best way I can explain it. And then that explains the time. I just shot Coldwater Rumble. We had about 450, 500 participants across 5 different distances. We had 4 photographers there. I shot an on-course location for 4 hours. And then I shot finish line for the 100K and 100 miler, almost the entire duration of finish line for those races. And my shot count was about 8,000.
Wow. And that's just one photographer.
That's just one. Yeah. And so then I size that down to about a third of that, because I burst photos to try and get a good float step, a good hike step, a good facial expression, eyes open, all those kinds of things. So my shot count could even be higher, I'd say, in that, but I've also figured out generally how many shots I would need to get what I need out of every expression. So edit wise, it takes about 8 hours to do 2,000 to cull through and edit the shots and upload that. So if I shot 8,000, yeah, I'm looking at another 40-hour week basically. On top of, because I have a team, I'm also coordinating, planning the next weekend, and sometimes even the following weekend, scheduling flights, it's tax season. I don't have an HR, and I have 15 people just in the first 3 months this year working.
As a staff?
As employees? A staff.
Yeah. Wow. So you have really grown in the past 10 years because you started as just a one person show, right? And now you're a team of 15.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have all that extra business stuff you have to do on the side.
2021 was the first year I took on employees, and I'm actually, I shouldn't say that. I had one good local buddy who had a good engineering type job back in California who has still consistently shot for me. Shout out to Joel Corcoran. Joel has been working for me quite a bit longer than that. What happened was I asked for a pack mule at Western States, and he showed up with a 400-pound pack. I'm joking, but he basically carried every lens, every body he had in this giant backpack, as well as sometimes threw mine on his chest. It was my pack mule at Western States 1 year. And I was like, let's make use of that camera. Let's pull that thing out. And so he started shooting. His shots were good. He understood my editing style, and it's been a good merger of the two of us. He mostly works on localized stuff to the Sacramento area.
Okay.
So he covers about 5 or 6 events of 60, but he's always been a good staple. So with him as an outlier, though, 2021, I took on a few other people and found a really awesome person in Jacob Banta, who is now pretty well known with the teams and stuff. His girlfriend's on Hoka. He also works at Sugar Bowl. And so I lost him to Sugar Bowl. They swooped him up on me. He needed the insurance and things like that because he's also a crazy impressive runner. But since then, I'm about 15 photographers, and they live in about 8 different states. And they all are hungry to get out there. They're all doing it part-time currently. And not to say that I pay them less, but I also just... They're passionate about getting out there and doing it, and they look forward to it. And they have an infectious energy, which we're basically glorified cheerleaders and professional observers.
Yep. Shout out to Jacob. His photo is actually on my desktop right now on my computer.
Nice.
He shot a photo of me when I ran Mount Hood 50K. Oh, nice. And it's got Mount Hood in the background. It's one of my favorite running photos. Thank you, Jacob.
Yeah.
So what other kind of technical challenges do you have out there when you're shooting these events? Heat, cold, all that sort of thing. You're out there all day long for like cold water. Man. Aren't you there 36 hours? Funny.
I'll send this to him as the label because it's perfect. It's me in a Carhartt onesie. I've been known to travel around with the world's biggest Carhartt onesie, and everybody compliments me on it because they say, you look so warm. And those are the best thing in the world. It was 17 degrees at the start of Bandera 2 weeks ago. I felt good. Gloves, neck gaiter, that's all I needed with a Carhartt onesie. No extra sweaters or anything underneath that too. It was just a shirt and shorts under there. But as far as hauling around gear, I tend to carry 2 camera bodies, 3 lenses, a monopod, and a bunch of batteries. And then I need all the water and snacks I can. Sometimes I don't go where I have access to an aid station very easily, and I don't want to lose the shot. I would like to stay where I know there's great shots, stay in that region and try and service everybody in the best way I can with a great shot. So I'll be out there 4 to 6 hours sometimes in a location, and just whatever I brought with me. I'm a really bad dirt bagger. Sorry, Carl Meltzer. I do not like sleeping in my car. I think I just need to work on my spine and core to be better at that. But I tend to try and stay somewhere, and I tend to try and stay on a mat. So if I have that luxury, I'm pretty happy about it. I'm working on getting better at it, but currently car camping is not my strength. Maybe I just have the wrong car.
That's so funny you mentioned the onesie, because I just got for Christmas one of the Selkirk's bags. It's a onesie, but it's a sleeping bag. And I actually stole the idea from Anastasia, the other photographer.
Yeah.
Because we're so cold at the finish line. Yep.
For sure. They've made a lot of really good full body suit things for when it's really cold. When people don't understand, like, if you never volunteered and you're a runner, please go do it. Because you'll understand the other side a lot better and not be that person that's giving them a hard time when they're just people trying to help you and they think you're awesome. And if you treat them poorly, it really sucks. Yeah. But it's cold. Antelope Aid Station, mile 7 at Black Canyon last year, there was snow and mud.
Oh, like, wow.
Those people are just standing there trying to help you in that kind of miserable weather. Probably not with the space heater because it's only open for 2 hours, but they're just standing there in the cold. Us photographers were, we need our fingers. So like we might have like little tiny running gloves on, but our hands are freezing and we're hitting, we're just trying to get the good bursts and get the shots, but we're just standing out there in the cold as well. If it's flaming hot, like.
Yeah, like Javelina.
Air Viper races, it's supposed to be 70 degrees currently for Elephant Mountain on February 1st. 70 degrees is really hot when you're out there for 6 to 8 hours, just standing in the open sun with no shade. So yeah, really appreciate those people because they're just out there probably with a liter of water and hoping that it works out okay.
And what about your equipment in extreme temperatures? Do you have to carry like cooling packs in the heat or umbrellas or?
I haven't had any major issues. Cold drains batteries faster, but I haven't had a ton of issues in the recent history. Early on when I didn't have as much gear, if it was cold and I had two batteries, like I'm done if they're done. So I can't look back at the screen as much when it's cold, when I didn't have enough batteries. Now I'm at a spot where it's like I have 8 batteries and unlimited source. I just have to carry it and it's extra weight, but it's worth carrying all that extra stuff. Even if I don't need it, I have it with me. Yeah, as far as like rain and snow and wetness, that's probably the biggest concern. Keeping gear safe. Then I've tried a lot of different things. I've even those little pop-up shelters that you see mom and dad at the soccer game. Uh-huh. I have one of those. It folds down into a circle, into a little pack, and it has its own backpack. And so when I've worked for Go Beyond during a wet race, I've had it like that strapped to my chest and I'm walking out and I'm able to photograph behind it. And then when it really starts to pour, I whip out this little shelter and I sit Indian style in it and shoot from there and just stay safe in the rain. Back in the day, Marin Ultra Challenge years ago, it was sideways, wind and rain. And I was wearing a ski suit and then a poncho on the outside, camera underneath. Camera's also bagged. They make like protective bags for the camera. But then you have to look through the eyepiece and that's all you could do. And it wasn't mirrorless, so I couldn't see the coloring. I had to actually read the meter and actually use the camera to its full capacity and balance everything. I'd tuck it out, take a shot, and then tuck it back in or point it away from the wind and then tuck it under, because if I get a little bit under, then I'm just getting it's hot and steamy underneath and then I still have the same issues. So yeah, I'd say that rain is probably one of the tougher issues. And yet early on, like in 2015, I had 8 or 9 events in the rain with my 2 camera bodies. My camera bodies survived that year. And I got pneumonia once.
Oh my gosh.
Had to strip down naked in the car on Panoramic Highway and just dry myself out because I was so cold. And yeah, I mean, there's definitely some extreme type things. I probably have been through more extreme things as a photographer than I have as a runner.
Because photography is dangerous.
Oh yeah. Massive hail lightning storm on top of a peak during Silver State 1 year. And everybody that I saw in that little 1 hour window stuck up in the storm up on top of the mountain. It's always remember D-Day kind of moment where we're like, wow. Man, that was scary. But we survived. We made it off the mountain. With George Ruse's taco in our hand.
So speaking of gear and batteries and all that, is there a favorite piece of gear you have? Maybe it's a camera or is it something different? You have your go-to camera for us camera nerds out there.
I just had to rent a camera for December because I had 2 cameras getting fixed. And I got to use the Canon RR5. I'm sold. I can't get it right at the moment, but as soon as
How much is it?
They're like $4,000.
Wow.
Yeah. There's more expensive cameras, but that camera for what sports photographers do, it's the camera. It's
nice.
Amazing. I can choose a spot to focus on, but then once it has that understood, then it finds your eye. It's crazy.
Nice. So it's, I'm going to look that right up here.
There's the eye, boom. And they were just super tack point every single time. But I currently am on the R6, which is also a good camera. It's better for video. So if somebody is listening and trying to pick a camera, Canon R6 is better for video because you can do slow-mo. Canon R5 doesn't do slow-mo. That's my word of advice in that. And if you want even fancier, then you can go with the R3 for video. But the R6 is definitely a really good camera for video stuff.
Speaking of video, that kind of brings me into my next question here. As you've grown a production company, you've grown a staff, what other services are you providing now? So let's talk about that and what's going to be happening with 2025 for you.
I am dabbling. Someone out there said, hey, you guys do live stream. And so I have some photographers that actually do live stream for other sports and would love to do it in their passion with running. And it made me start thinking and made me start questioning if it was plausible. And so I started bidding some events and trying to figure it all out. We know we can do it. We've done a couple little ones and we're just looking for that big major production event to pull in and do for the first time. We were hoping to do one at Lake Sonoma 100 Miler. I just came into it a little bit late in the game as far as trying to figure out that big of a budget because it does cost a ton of money. It's really good for bill pay and paying your employees and like people actually having work, but it's really expensive with no major payoff for whoever's in charge. So if you do see Let's Wonder Productions producing a live stream, there's a lot of passion behind it. We're fed and we're taken care of, but don't worry. I'm not like buying a house because I've got a big age and people talking about running. I think
there's a lot in sweat and tears that
Jamil
go behind
say
it.
That. I think Jamil told me it's like, there's not a ton of like money for the person in charge, but if you have bill pay and you got people that you want to feed, like you got to keep producing. But that's what's really cool with that is we all get to wonder and at Outpost Media and everything that they're doing. But the biggest thing is I'm just another player in the game that would love to see the sport grow and allow things to get exposed. Another major thing that we will be doing, and I'm digging around for ideas currently, but our YouTube channel, I'd love to just get that going. So go give Let's Wonder Productions a follow on YouTube if you're listening. We are going to be putting out there all the race videos that we've been doing. So we've shot videos for Kira Henninger. We're shooting a whole bunch of the races for Inside Trails right now, all as promotion for their races. And that is another service that we have out there. We can come in and we can put together a nice little 4-minute video for people have embedded into their website so people can see what it's like live action, not just the photos. And then also we deliver a few reels with that so then they can boost their social media presence through stories and Instagram. Collaborating with people has been amazing. Ultra Running has been collaborating with me and that's been such a blessing because people are starting to follow. Aravipa collaborates with me on some posts and same with Inside Trails. It's been really good to grow the team in that kind of way. So video production is definitely the big component to that. We would love to follow people's personal stories at events. We would love to cover for the race themselves. And we also would love to eventually have a vlog that has dedicated elements to it for different voices that are in the community that aren't being heard or seen for different random reasons.
Yeah, that's definitely a trend that I see growing in the sport, and love Mountain Outpost, but there's so many races, they can't do them all. So I think it's great that there's going to be another brand like you who's out there who can provide that service for everyone. I love it, especially if races are on the same weekend too.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And there's just totally different voices out there. Free Trail tends to talk about what's the race is going to be, and they have their beat on that. And that makes sense. They're OG professional runners themselves, and they have a massive interest and understanding of those folks. But I'm really interested in the people that, you know, one day aren't going to be here anymore, that are the people that started this whole crazy sport. They're getting in their 70s and they're still doing running, and they still have a passion for it. Perfect example is Ed Eddington. He's not even that old, but Ed just finished 293 100 milers. It's just insane. You and I have both seen him at events and you're just like, oh, there's Ed. And just
the jester, right? Is that the jester?
Yeah, Ed the jester. For Ed Eddington to have accomplished 293 100 milers post the age 40. I'm not even 40 yet. He told me at the finish line, he said, you're younger than me, than I was when I started. I was like, oh my gosh, that's, it's wild to even comprehend, as well as looking at guys that are known for being fast at one point in their life, like Carl Meltzer. He just finished his 87th. He's getting close to that 100 mile mark. This is wild. 100,000 miles in 120 days or something like that. It's just wild.
And the jester wears the hat the whole time.
And the suit.
The suit too. Oh, man.
That's a lot of polyester.
Sweaty in there. So what's your favorite race you've shot and your favorite person you've shot in your history career?
Favorite race to photograph. I do love Western States. It's pretty special to be a part of that. But my favorite race that I've shot would probably be Waldo 100K. Oh. Because I get to just be on one of the prettiest sections of the PCT for 4 or 5 hours and just listen to mountain birds and the wind rolling over mountain lakes, and occasionally run into a PCT hiker if the section's not closed. And then the runners are just, they're really close to being done. And for them to see somebody at mile 59 way up on the mountain is, I feel like it's pretty special. Like you just run into somebody that, like, oh my gosh, I've seen you all day. How are you up here? Why are you still out here? I love getting those kind of questions because I feel seen in it. Yeah, I'm here. And I'm also here for you. Is there anything you need? Are you good? It's hot up here. Hop in that lake. Uh-huh. trying to teach people that. My favorite person out there that I photographed. Oh man. It's funny. I like people that are a little bit dramatic when they're finished. And there are some people that always give me the drama if it's on trail or at the finish line. And I feel like the shots always turn out a little bit more epic in that. But I love blade runners, and there's quite a few of them out there that are putting down 100 milers and awesome things. So it just adds just like this extra dramatic component to
no excuses, runner. Crushing it.
Yeah. Rocky Raccoon is just freezing cold, and I'm blanking on her last name, Amy. She's a blade runner, but she ran with an American flag and a blade and finished the whole darn thing. And it's just amazing. She's finished several 100 milers, but it was like below 30 degrees. And she's just out there just crushing it. It's just, I can't describe what I get to experience just being out there and just watching them actually do it, rather than them coming in and out of the aid station where there's comforts. Like they could go buy a space heater, they could eat food and water. But when they're just out there and they're 5-10 miles away from anything, and it's just them doing, and they are doing what they tell you they're doing, it's really wild. Knowing that guys like Andy Glaze are just out there just busting out 100-mile weeks, and then you see them run 200 miles, 100 miles, and they're just going to do it again next week. My brain just can't comprehend it. I'm sure you get to experience that a lot with the 200 milers now partnering with Destination Trails, because it's just, it's a very unique crowd. Stefan Santa Runner, he was just at Coldwater as well. I know you've seen him at the 200s. And they've unlocked something where it's just like they, it is just part of them. It's just what they do. And it's just wild for me to comprehend as a runner that there's folks like that. And let alone people get amazed when I just tell them I run beyond 26.2. I'm like, that's why I say everybody out there that does an ultra, you're somebody's hero. Somebody is just completely fascinated. I'd say that my favorite race to race, at least, so my favorite course to race, I have a breakdown of this. My favorite course to race is Woodside Rant. Woodside, we have Inside Charles has Woodside Ramble, and they have Woodside Prisma Crossover. So we have two races there, but it's a Redwood Park that costs $6 to go into, and it's nothing like Muir Woods. There's hardly anybody out there. There's a couple horses, maybe a couple hikers, but it's just you and beautiful redwoods and oak trees in peace and serenity.
Aww, I'm going to have to look all these races up later.
Yeah. And it's probably a local favorite to the Bay Area. It's on the peninsula. But I think that it's one of the best parks there is out there, and they sell out, but a lot of times it sells out to Bay Area folks because they know. It's one of those kind of situations. My favorite race for the event aspect that I've raced outside of Western States, I would say that my favorite event that was like fun to run would be Javelina. There's a lot of like upset from some people that have ran it in the past because the price keeps going up. But at the same time, when something's popular, if people are willing to pay for it, then they're the ones that get to go. That's really what happens there. The park does have a capacity for so many people. People are parking like 3 miles from the start these days in 100 mile, 100K, and having to walk all the way to start and walk all the way back to the car. You're doing 106, 107 miles every time you go run that race if you're doing it solo. But it's a cool place for everything just to meet together. And for just to see all the characters, because there's fun characters in the sport from fast to slow. And now they've added like fun night races.
So yeah, like, the Jackass run.
Be a part of the scene, then like you just come be a part of it and experience the nighttime. And it really fluffs up the nighttime a little bit. It makes it, and it keeps the fun rolling because there's a lot that's offered there. And they just keep improving it by small things. Like they can't just have Freak Bros Pizza. They have a few other food options. There's food to buy there. You don't even have to leave the park to have a good time. It's all right there. And there's get a tattoo.
I still haven't been to that
javelina
one
on my body yet. I do have
bridge,
but I do not have a javelina.
How about running in one of the runner speedos? Jake Jackson?
Oh my gosh. So in 2014, I got my first experience of two like NAU runners that ran the 100K, and they cut the backs of their shorts out. And by loop two, they were chapped to high hell. Pam Smith did that this year, and same idea, just bright red booty. So yeah, there's some interesting stuff like that happens. Jake would be our guy that would rep the speedo. Bob Heron the year before. Oh man, I've shot beta breakers before. I've seen worse.
Oh, you've seen it all then.
I've seen it all.
So what advice would you give someone trying to break into trail running photography?
I have the whole thing under lock. No, I would say that just recognize that the photographers are part of the community as well. And that if there's a mutual respect going on between everything in the background of a race, we don't want to be the ones that ruin a race because we're having all kinds of random issues in the background of it all. Respect your time. I'm a father of three and married. What does your time cost? What's the value there? And it's probably not as low as you think. At least cover your costs. If you're going to go to an event just to have a good time, you just want to cover your costs. Think about the gas money. Think about the food. Anything else related to the travel. And Another fun thing is I really plan on doing a run camp parallel to a photography camp. Always be on the lookout for little opportunities like that, because then you can get a taste of everything in a controlled setting. Reach out to me if you're interested out there, because there's work to be had for sure. And the sport is growing. And in the past 10 years of me shooting, there hasn't been a dip other than the pandemic, if you want to call that a dip. Mm-hmm. Up and up. More events, more people, more interest. There's all kinds of ways to get involved on the creative side.
So you said your dream race to run, we all know it's Western States. Do you have a dream race that you would love to shoot, or a person that you would love to capture that moment?
Man. I also would say that CCC is my other dream. Like, it's 50-50. But shooting, definitely something out there in the Alps would be pretty killer. I would love to get out there and shoot something up there. Every time I look at folks that I appreciate over there in Europe, I'm just like, gosh, you don't even have to really try. It's just so pretty. But then when I, on the state side, I think I'd love to go to Barkley and just see the raw energy of those folks, because that is just different. That hits different.
Any other goals this year?
People-wise, if I was told I could follow Killian for a race, yeah.
Or an adventure, or an FKT.
Yeah. Me and Killian all day long. I'd be on an e-bike.
I know you would be able to keep up with them. That's another thing with the live stream, because I've done some live stream work where I hold the camera and trying to keep up with some of these runners without falling.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as it looks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So pretty any wild. Other business goals or race goals this year? You have any race goals this year? Another qualifier, you said?
Well, I've qualified for 2026 already, so my hands are clean there.
Out of the way. Yep. Nice.
Real early. It's fun bragging. And then, so I have invites to a couple 100 milers.
Ooh.
But I don't need 100.
How about 50Ks?
I would love to do a few 50Ks, but my bigger goal within it is to get down to some of the speeds I had around the pandemic, because I had a really fun pandemic year with all the freedom. And so I would love to try and get some speed back, which means cutting weight and hitting the gym more and getting an all-around fitness goal going, which is not very common for me. I'm one of those kind of runners. I only have time to do the run, but I would love to be able to split my time between the running and the all-around fitness. Currently knocking some pounds off, watching what I eat better. But sickness ran through the house. So as a parent, like, I also have those restraints. Yep. My narrative will never be a streak runner. Just I don't have the ability to commit in that kind of way, unless it's like a mile, but maybe I'll have to do that. But yeah, I don't know. Just trying to get the speed up. So maybe some trail halves, 25K, somewhere in that range, build up, then knock out a 50K, maybe May or June. That's the first spot I think I could actually accomplish one the way I want to. My PR personally, like on Strava, is 5:23, but that was on a track. And it would be fun to get a trail race under 6, which would be really nice. Mm-hmm. Don't think I could accomplish that in the spring, but maybe in the fall.
Nice. Good goals. I love it. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing about everything photography, ultra running. Congratulations on all your growth in 10 years. And I'm sure I'll see you at a race this year. Thanks.